All right. It's Hayden and Father Matt Chigidja back with this one.
Papa Bear's here.
And we're on our way going on a surfing trip to Halama, Santa Cruz, all the above.
Halama and beyond.
Little camping trip with the father, you know. And we're a little bored driving. I've been driving mostly. Actually, no, I've been driving the whole time. And I thought, why not make a podcast? Because Joe Rogan's been influencing us.
Big influence.
So.
You light one up and have some whiskey.
I know you were a pretty mild-mannered kid back in the day. So.
Angel.
What type of, let's say, hallucinates did you experiment with?
Hallucinates? Like, sometimes we'd, you know, breathe really fast into a paper bag and stand up straight, you know, that'd get us really dizzy. It was kind of a good rush. That was the kind of hallucinations that we were into.
No, buddy, I'm talking about like mushrooms and LSD. Like, tell us your experiences with, say, mushrooms, because I know you used to do that a few times back in the day.
I did some mushrooms from time to time. Had some fun with those guys. Did some. Everybody's trip's your own kind of experience. You know, in terms of what you see and how you perceive it, a lot of it has more to do with you and where you are at. They're more of a mirror into yourself and how you feel about yourself than anything else. If you're not really happy where you're at, it's gonna magnetize that for you, and it's gonna sort of point out all the things that you aren't. It's going to focus on all the things that you're not really happy about yourself with. And it could send you off into sort of a introspective kind of trip. You know, most hallucinogen drugs kind of start off with sort of a slow rise where you're feeling laughy and giggly and really kind of body sensations.
So you're saying, like, the main event of hallucinants is not good things?
No, it's good. If you're really in a good place with yourself and you're comfortable with yourself in the way you are, then you're gonna really enjoy it. And it's some drugs, like mushrooms, for example, are a good way to experience sort of a creativity that you wouldn't get outside of taking them. It really allows sort of a passageway to go from one side of your brain to the other, and sort of where the creative side of you links with the more mechanical side, you know, and it sort of, you know, brings you into that third spiritual side and kind of can bring all the three separate yous together. If you're not in a good place, you might not have a good time. But if you are in a good place, you're comfortable with where you're at, you see yourself and the good stuff that's within you sort of reflects outwards.
In like another dimension with someone.
It's definitely another dimension for sure. You know, I know that, I mean, there was some weird stuff that I sort of, say, discovered, but you're gonna need to be in the right hand lane here soon, real soon. At least one more. I'd say like the weirdest thing was sort of a telekinetic kind of experiences we'd have, where, and I experienced it with different groups of friends, where you could communicate with somebody without talking to them.
Like, you just know what they're thinking and what their thoughts are. Like,
exactly. Like, if I wanted to
I truly don't think that's possible. Like, your mind could be so into itself that you think you're invincible and you think that you can use your brain more, like, in a different way than what it's made to be programmed as. Like, there's no way somebody can link their brain to somebody else's brain and just go back and forth. Like, you taking taking a drug like that, I feel like can, like, kind of flip a switch and, like, open someone's, like, spiritual eye and see something that isn't there, well, but also this, feel it. And
for you, this is just what you've heard. I'm assuming, unless you want to tell me something that I don't know. But other than that, you're kind of assuming, hey, you know what? People have said this about it. People have said that about it. You know, and not that I'm saying, hey, go out and do these. Go out and take a bunch of LSD or go take a bunch of mushrooms or do whatever. I mean, you want to try it, great. If you don't, well, that's great too. I would tell you, you know, start off slowly at first. Make sure you're in a comfortable space. And, take too much, but you know, taking a hallucinogen is probably better off for you than, you know, taking opioids that the doctor prescribes.
Well, of course, and I've seen a couple DMT videos here and there, and I've seen a lot of people say take off on this kind of like roller coaster, more of like strapping onto outside of a rocket ship and just going straight up, and they feel everything, and then soon there's this demon running at them with pitchforks and all this, ready to like kill you. And this dude once said, like, if you just, like, the second he accepted everything and said everything's gonna be okay, all of it just went away, and all this like insanely pretty like crazy stuff just popped up, which was like
release the anxiety of not knowing, and accepted it, and then it became more comfortable to be within that surrounding. I've never taken DMT, but my understanding is it's sort of like really take the whole LSD experience and you crush it into about 15 minutes, which
feels like 5, 20, 30 years. Because I've seen videos.
But I don't know. I've never taken DMT, but I do know from, you know, it's definitely a different kind of sensory experience. It almost feels like you're on a different level than everybody. And you are, because you're high, right? So you're, I mean, if you're smoking weed, you're high. You're on a different level than everybody else. But I think it's can be more. Of what I was getting at before, where, you know, the main thing that, one of the main things that I noticed was the ability to sort of have this communal consciousness, right? So, example, like we're, you know, skateboarding around and at Stanford campus, and we're tripping out, and there's like three of us, and we're on a pretty good trip, and I remember saying something like, oh yeah, we should turn up ahead and go down over by the lake and go skate over that way. And without, you know, saying it to my friend, he kind of looked back, nodded, and turned right. And we're going on skateboards pretty fast, couldn't really hear anything, and I'm pretty sure I didn't say anything. And he was pretty sure he didn't say anything. So afterwards, we kind of talked about it. He's like, did you say something? Because it kind of felt like you were talking.
Dude,
like,
through this
secondary kind of level.
It's crazy.
And so it's sort of like, and I thought, man, I don't remember for sure if you had, it was a long time ago, but I just remember having this communal conscience between the three of us that were skating around, that were like, we didn't really have to talk to
you
get.
You guys were one.
Things.
You guys felt as if you guys were just one human.
And it, you know, it could be the high amount of drugs we were on.
That's crazy.
But everything sort of seemed all right. And then I had trips other times where I, you know, I took some mushrooms, we'll call them. And I wasn't really in a very good place in that I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I was kind of, had a lot of anxiety going on as to, you know, what the future was going to bring. And I was sort of at a point where I had cleared one goal and hadn't started the next, or hadn't even picked out what the next was going to be. And that experience was kind of shitty. And the guy that I took it with was kind of an asshole, but... well, he definitely was an asshole. But, I mean, we can all be assholes sometimes, but... Whoa. Well, I think that was probably the worst trip I ever had. But, and that, I mean, in terms of amount of drugs taken on that thing, it was probably one of the lesser times. Lesser amounts.
What were you experiencing that made it?
Well, it's just a lot of anxiety, I think. And I think that anxiety
turned into paranoia and kind of like, oh, I'm not in the right place.
Exactly.
Like, I shouldn't
be focused here. And sort of expanded that paranoia, if you want to call it that, or that anxiety that I was sort of dealing with at that point in my life. But you know, and you can, a lot of times you'll see really weird kind of
figures.
Arts and figures and designs and the best way I could sort of describe it was a lot
like something that a human couldn't make or project.
Think of like those, Aztec calendar, right?
Well, yeah, because they,
right.
All of them during that time were taking these drugs, and that's what made them, like, you see these crazy, like, character figures carved out in caves and stuff, and it just looks like something you couldn't just see with a naked eye. Like, you have to be somewhere under an influence or some sort of being came down and did this. And a lot of people said that after experiencing with these drugs, like, especially DMT, when they would open their eyes, humans and the way they looked at everything would look just so pixelated and completely different. Like, what this one dude said, that he opened his eyes and he saw his friend had like one eye, just one big huge eye, and just looked insane, like an alien type of thing, which is drawn in these caves and all of this stuff. And I feel like that's what kind of brought up those ideas of the Aztec calendars and all of these other just figments of just their imagination, really, because of these drugs. Like, you can't see this, it's just all in your head. Especially, like, you, after taking these drugs, you can't just go out and tell somebody, like, especially even a week after, like, you can't just tell them what you experienced. Like, you thought of it and, like, felt it and everything. Like, you can't describe the feeling. It's just crazy. I can't even describe it.
Whoa, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
But, yeah.
Exactly. Brakes. Just, if you're going to hit a car, don't hit that one.
Fucking AC on fucking.
If I was ever to take DMT, it would definitely be when I'm like 25 in a good place. I have a figure, like, there's not a lot of stress or anxiety that's going on in my life. Like, I have an idea of what I want to be, what I want to do, and all this other stuff.
There's always stress and anxiety. It's just how you handle it and how.
It's the same. That's the same thing with everything. It's how you handle life and handle drugs and how governments handle weapons and all this other stuff. It's like, you can't just take away drugs and alcohol and weapons and all of this stuff that we've been, like, programmed how to use and do and influenced for years. It's in our DNA by now. Like, somebody says, especially to me, like, hey, you can never take a shower again, like, I'll go insane and I'll obviously break that law because I need to take a shower because I
could take a bath,
feel weird. Well, I mean, it just doesn't feel the same. But yeah,
what if you could never take a shower again but only could take baths?
I'd obviously do it. I'd rather be clean than not clean. I'm just saying it wouldn't be the same. Like, I remember I was watching this Office episode on YouTube where Jim was like kind of playing with Dwight's mind, where like every time Jim would turn off his computer, like restart it, it would make a little noise, and freaking he would give Dwight an Altoid, and he would actually like, he did that for about a couple weeks, and the time that he shut down his computer, Dwight was like where's my Altoid? And he's like, he didn't give him it. So he's like, this is weird taste in my mouth. Like, you know, like he found out that like you could do the same thing like humans do to dogs, like salivating or whatever, mm-hmm. on to humans. And Jim always pranked Dwight, and I thought that was pretty funny. I thought I might as well do that and try it to someone.
All right, you want me to try it to you right now?
Well, you can't. That's impossible. It's like, it's the same
thing. Right.
It's the same thing with the shower. Like,
no, watch.
I take a shower every single night because I hate feeling disgusting. And when I don't take a shower, I feel even grosser than, say, I should feel because it's just in my mind.
Right,
or whether it's getting in the morning to take a piss, like, wake up every single morning and take a piss, like, that thought of, oh, I'm not taking a piss, like, you're like, I need to take a piss even more. Or, like, the same thing with breathing.
All right, well, watch this, right? Picture me. I walk out to the backyard, grab a lemon off of the tree. I go back into the house. I slice that lemon slowly into quarters, carefully, after washing it off, of course. Make sure that there's no seeds in it right there. I hand you the slice of lemon. And right now, you take a big bite of that slice of lemon. Can you feel it in your mouth?
And I guess I can feel the initial shock of it going into my mouth, but I don't really taste it.
Can you remember what it kind of tastes like biting into a lemon, that pulp feeling? You get sort of that pulp in your mouth and that lemon taste.
I can imagine an orange. If you say an orange, I can imagine that, because I eat way more oranges than lemons.
Well, you know how sour a lemon is.
Well, yeah.
Now think about taking that bite yourself. Now take another bite of the next piece. Now do you feel your mouth sort of welling up with extra salivating, creating more moisture in your mouth to sort of compensate for acidity? And you're just thinking about it. You're not actually doing it. So it's you're creating an action from your body that's generally
commonly used.
Well, no, it's, what would I call it? You can't control it, right? Involuntary. You're creating an involuntary action in your body by using your own imagination. Now, some people would think that, well, I mean, I think that's kind of weird that you can do that to trick your body into, and your body knows that it's a trick. So your own body knows you're not putting a lemon in your mouth right now. But the fact that you are visualizing taking a bite out of a lemon and your salivary glands are going freaking bonkers, like, oh, dude, we need more moisture in there. There's this. How does your brain, if your brain is what is controls your body, you know, not realizing it, you know, that, hey, salivary gland, you don't need to make anything. Nobody's taking a bite out of anything, right? This brain that's supposed to be controlling everything.
Because you are not... Your brain is its own person, I feel like. Like, I'm one being, you know? Like, I feel like our brains and our bodies are created differently. Like, they're somehow put together in some sort of way. Where, like, they weren't all connected. Because, where, like, there's a part of my... No. I feel like it's just different parts of our brains that aren't supposed to, like, it's just not one whole brain. Like, there's a part saying, none of this is real, like, you're not actually biting into 11. And the other part is the imaginary part and all that. Like, I remember one time, I woke up in the middle of the night, and this is kind of off topic, but, like, it's how our minds play tricks on each other. And I remember when, back in the day, I would always wake up in the middle of the night, I see this figure in our, like, baby pictures, and it would look like this weird Aztec looking thing, and it would be made out of dust, like, look exactly like somebody went up and, like, drew it or something. And over time, I'm like, what the fuck? I, like, first time I saw it, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's happening? And then I kind of just got used to it. I'm like, oh, I see that. But, like, now I don't see it anymore. And I remember one time, like, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw this figure, this being standing there. I swear on my life, I thought it was Beef.
Which house was it?
No, it was this house. I was like, Beef. Like, Beef. And he just stood there. And then he just kind of vanished. Like this black shadow.
As you call it. Shadow knows.
It was a shadow. Like, as a human being, it looked exactly like Beef. And there's always that Aztec figure in the mirror. Sometimes it would be different. Sometimes it would have a longer face and these big, big eyes and this open mouth. And then sometimes it'd have a little compact face, the same thing. It'd be longer and bigger and sometimes different. And I don't know if that's my mind playing tricks on me or not, or sure. That was actually there.
Well, the theory that I like to accept, we'll call it that, because I'm not proposing that I made this up, but I've heard this from various different people, is that you have three selves. And I think I mentioned this before. You have a playful self, right? That's the joking around, kidding kind of self. You have the mechanical self, and you have the spiritual self. So with that same lemon eating example, you playing with your mind and doing this whole, oh, I'm imagining I'm eating a lemon. Well, that's your playful self, right? Your body salivating, going, oh shit, you know, there's a lemon's coming in. We need to do something to counteract the acid that's coming in so we don't, you know, burn our innards, because the lemon is that sour taste, that's acid. That's produced extra salivary stuff, is your mechanical self reacting to that, you know. And then the fact that it doesn't go too far is your spiritual self kind of, I'm going to say, not overseeing, but sort of being in the middle or something like that over the three selves, but over those two selves, and it kind of brings the two together and separates them, necessarily at the same time, but within the same person. And the whole idea being is, if you can get to the point where all three selves are one, and you can accept the downsides of each one's and foster the upsides, then you will sort of get yourself closer to enlightenment, so to speak.
I don't feel like you could possibly combine all of those. They're all separate in their unique ways. It's about how to work with them, in effect. Like, how to understand them and tweak little bits to be similar where they do connect. Because there's always going to be parts that connect and don't connect. And it just depends what you think and what you're doing and all of this. But I feel like if you really, really know how to use it and, like, know what you're doing with your body and your mind and all this other stuff, you can become one, like, universal being. Because a lot of people, especially right now, have these different personalities and these different ways of acting in certain situations. Like, no one's going to act the same in every single situation, every single day, and all this other stuff. It's like, just finding a way to cope with it and use it to your advantage. Okay, just accept everything. But, like, I feel another really nerve-wracking topic is the unknown. It's what you don't know is what truly haunts, I feel like, everybody. And it's something you don't think of a lot of the time, but you know it's out there. Like, you don't know if a freaking somebody could fire a gun a mile away and somehow just square me up in the head. Like, it's very, 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 very unlikely, but it's the thought of dying and all this other stuff that,
well, I think you have to accept the unknown that's out there.
Well, of course.
You know, and your acceptance with it.
Like, I accept that, like, if I was to get shot in the head, like, all right. Like, I've learned to cope with accepting death a lot more than like, how I used to be. Like, I feel like, I mean, trying to, like, run away from it in a sense and say, oh, no, like, it adds more fear. Just accepting it and saying, if it happens, it happens. Like, the thought is further away from you than grasping it or trying to push it away, in effect. You know?
There was a guy about 100 years ago, maybe a little less. This guy Gacy, who had kind of ESP, right? Like, he'd go into a trance and people ask him questions, and he could literally solve mysteries and, like, visually transport himself to another space, kind of like what?
Ooh, like Stranger Things.
Like that.
Have you seen that?
No. But, like, the, not, he couldn't transport his body, but he could transport his mind.
Let me tell you. Okay, so. Just go. I'll tell you.
Don't break the movie. I'll watch it at some point. But in any event, so this guy could talk to people that had passed away. He could go to places that he couldn't go to.
God.
He had a lot of telekinetic powers, but they were all, like, sort of when he was in a trance. So he always had somebody who would ask him questions or sort of guide him towards where he was going, but sometimes he'd do it by himself. And he had some interesting theories on the soul and the self and, you know, the planets and God and religion and how all that stuff sort of figured in. I think you'd find it interesting to sort of listen to him talk or listen to people talk about what he, you know, his writings on that kind of stuff. Because after hearing it, it made me, I don't know that I was ever really super concerned about death, but it sort of made more sense than any of the typical shit that they normally tell you, you know.
Yeah, but Stranger Things is a TV show. It's pretty old, but my ex got it into me, so, like, once I started watching it, I was addicted.
Got it.
She showed me it, and then I kept watching it. I'm like, this is the best TV show I've ever seen. And there's this weird type of being. She was a human, but the government kind of took her over and controlled her mind. This isn't really spoiling any of it. It's just kind of telling you who this character is. And this character that you were describing describes her. Like, she could control her mind. Like, in the beginning, she was able, it was mainly, like, as she got more fluent and comfortable with going to another place with her body and her mind, like, say she wanted to find someone, she would hold up a picture in front of her, turn on a staticky, like, TV, you know, that's going, and put on a blindfold, and she would just, and she'd be walking on, like, water in this black portal with that being, wherever he is in the world, whether it's in the afterlife or right now, standing in front of her. And she would know exactly where he is or whoever, whatever being it is, just where it is. And in the beginning, she got really scared, and then it would, like, because it's not real. She would go out to try to touch it, and it would just disappear. And then she'd get really scared, and then she came out of it. But as she did it more, she used it to her advantage and, like, actually became fluent. And, like, not as scared, and, like, used it to find people and, like, solve the mysteries that resolve. Like,
solve mysteries?
Solve mysteries that were in that TV show. But no, like, that's literally. And every time she would use her powers or whatever, telekinesic powers, her nose would bleed. It's crazy. I definitely feel like they got that character from that guy. When was it?
He was, like I said, 100 years ago, dude.
All right.
Long time ago. William Casey?
William Casey.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to look it up on my fucking phone. But I was listening to his shit earlier.
Oh. You feel like he could just be talking out of his ass, saying all this crazy shit? You just, like, never heard it before, so they just...
You hear it, and it all sort of starts... It makes sense, you know? Like, he talks about... I mean, he'll even talk about Jesus. And he's like, yeah, you know, I met with Jesus and Buddha or something at the same time in, like, this weird sort of paranormal place. And it's like, yeah, a lot of people are getting my messages mixed up because my messages are hidden within the words that I put out there. So if the words that I say don't exactly mean what people think they mean or what they're using them for, they sort of take the mysteries or the riddles, because he had to sort of talk in riddles, so that the current powers that be wouldn't have, because his ideas sort of weren't in line with everybody else's, but they were not far off enough if he kept everything sort of in riddles or hidden in the way that he said it. I don't know, I'd play some of that shit for it.
Like, he would say just a bunch of gibberish, and people would, like, it would be like a crazy riddle. And people, like, would just figure it out. Not figure it out, but they would, like,
no, but his stuff would have different meaning.
Like, he would say something, and then something else that's completely different, and then it'd say, go back to maybe that topic, and then something else completely different. And all of it would just pan into one simple thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I said I'd have to play it for you and let you listen to it. I mean, it's not like we don't have time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At some point, we got to grab some food. Are you hungry yet?
Yeah.
Once we get down the backside here in a fucking Venturi, grab something to eat.
And then you're driving.
Yep.
I don't want to play baseball right now.
You go out there, jump in a pickup game. Who needs a ringer? Oh, it's girls soccer. You can go far out there, Hayden. Home of the Lions. She's a biker. County Lion. Made it out of LA.
When you're doing podcasts, time flies by.
Yeah, it's sort of forced conversation as opposed to sitting and listening.
Go through some pretty insane stuff. But also, I'm young and I don't really have a lot of life experience type of stuff to really say, other than just stupid questions me and my friends would be answering.
Well, you should hear the stupid questions us and the Beckers ask each other. That'd make your questions look pretty smart. When we get together, put down a couple of pops.
Dude, why don't you guys make like some podcasts when you're like poker?
That fucked up? Yeah, that's a bad idea. 840, 420, double down.